At the moment of his death, when Jesus breathes his last, we're told that the curtain in the temple is ripped, torn in half. The significance here is that this is the curtain that separates the rest of the congregation from the Holy of Holies, the place in which only some high priest were allowed admittance. Consider it the throne of God. And it is said when the curtain was torn, it is as if the veil between the heavens and the earth for that moment were ripped open. Now, the late reggae singer Peter Tosh, in his song Equal Rights, said, "Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, Father of Jesus." And I think so often everyone wants to get to Easter, but nobody wants to go through the crucifixion. He also asks Peter Tosh in his song, "Who is the criminal? What is the crime?" Nobody wants to see themselves in the crowd that condemns Jesus. When we started today with the Litany of the Palms, we said that one word in which we say each Eucharist, when we pray together or sing together the Sanctus, the Holy, 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 we shouted out the word Hosanna. Now, Hosanna is the Greek interpretation of Hoshana of the Hebrew, which is a word taken from Aramaic. Now, for us, when we say Hosanna, it is a word of praise. And it truly is. But what the word means in the old Aramaic is save, help, rescue, or savior. So when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, riding on that donkey, and the crowds are laying out their cloaks and their coats, their over tunics, and they're laying out branches of all sorts, literally putting out, as we would call today, the red carpet for Jesus, they are all calling out, "Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, rescue us. Hosanna, Savior." They recognize him as the Son of David, the greatest king of Israel. They welcome him into Jerusalem, the most holy city, Zion on the hill, as their king, the King of Kings. They saw him as their Savior. Hosanna. But many of them saw him as a different type of Savior. They saw him as the one who would deliver them from the grasp of Rome. They saw him as the one who would remove the empire. Some of them actually thought that the Messiah was coming to create a new empire. not to usher in the kingdom of heaven, but to make the kingdom of Israel the great empire. But here Jesus coming in, riding through Jerusalem, crowds cheering on a donkey, the most humble beast of burden. Now, if you ever seen a donkey, you realize how ridiculous of a sight it is to see a full-grown man riding on top of one. And to think that this man is your king. And I'm sure that Jesus did not miss the irony of it, but wanted to show the people that the kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of man. That the kingdom of God will not be a different type of earthly empire, but one in which brothers and sisters recognize each other as the children of God. Not as Jews, not as Gentiles, not as women, not as men, not divided by race or religion, but one people in God. And many people saw this as a threat. You had the high priest and the Sanhedrin watching this Jesus come into the city, watching people cheering at him, calling him king, and realizing that this would grab the attention of Rome. That the governors and other people there in Jerusalem may see this as a threat of an uprising. And the priest, not wanting to lose the authority given to them through the empire, wanted to squash it. And so this is how we go from one moment cheering out Hosanna, celebrating the arrival of Jesus, to standing there before the governor of Rome, yelling out, "Crucify him. Let him be crucified." Now, the people who are yelling this are the very same people who were cheering him. Why they switched, maybe it was mob rule as we talk about. Possibly they realized that Jesus wasn't going to be this great king they were expected, the one who is going to basically knock Rome out of the way. Some saw him as a threat to their way of life. Jesus' only crime was that he did not fit into the structure. Now, it's easy on Sunday mornings to call out Hosanna. It is easy when we are together in church, protected by one another, to proclaim Jesus Christ as our King. But sometimes something happens from the time we leave our pew and get to the car and out of the parking lot. Sometimes we forget, or we choose not to remember that we have given our allegiance to Jesus because it doesn't fit into the world in which we are entering. We forget that we are being called to proclaim the good news, to not fit into the political structures and the classism that we see around us, but that first and foremost, we are children of God, disciples and messengers, subjects to the King of Kings. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, Father of Jesus. Next week is Easter, the greatest holy day of our church year. Nothing surpasses the holiness of Easter, not even Christmas. To be honest, Christmas is one of those holy days that have kind of come and gone in the church. Not that it wasn't significant, but it wasn't always looked at as that big of a deal. Easter has always been what we are about. But to get to Easter, we must go to the cross. Forever lasting life. We need to go through the crucifixion. To be there with Christ. To experience his death. To go with him to the grave. We are entering into Holy Week. This is the very first day. And throughout this week, we focus on the passion, the betrayal, the trial, the crucifixion, and the death of our Savior. Thinking about what it is that has been given to us. Focusing on the love of a God who surpasses all imaginable depths. A God who is not only willing to sacrifice his own son so that God may gather us back in, but at such a high and painful cost. It is only through examining what it is that Christ did for us that we can truly appreciate, before we can truly celebrate what Easter is. My brothers and sisters, I encourage and invite you this next week, when possible, to join in the various liturgies that we are offering here and at other places. To come to the Wednesday noon healing Eucharist. To be here for Maundy Thursday as we witness that first Eucharist, and as we remove the frontals and other elements from the sanctuary, stripping it bare for Good Friday. So that we each and every one of us may come to Easter knowing the true cost of our salvation.